our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And as Jackson makes his way back up to the tech castle, I want you to put on the third verse of I Surrender All, if you could. You know, it's just amazing how God works. And that's just, I got to say, how God works in that the worship team planned to do this song of all Sundays. And so the third verse of I Surrender All. Okay, nope, not that one. Try the fourth verse. Okay, try the second verse. We're going to find it eventually. All right, keep going. We're going to find this one. Okay, so there's one that says Holy Spirit in it on the third line. That's the one we're looking for. And trust me, this applies. Oh, there it is. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. As we continue our journey to discover the full nature and work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, to fully capture what it is he is actively doing. And something we've stressed each and every week of this series, since the first week of this series, is the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is a person, the very personhood of God. He is not some mystical, mythical, or magical force that's out there. But the very presence of God inside us, the very Spirit that was upon Jesus, upon us, promised to us by Jesus. When he says in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Something we once again read the very first week of our series, when we simply asked the question, how can this be? What could be better than Jesus standing flesh and blood right next to us? Well, let me tell you what's better than that. It's his very Spirit inside of us, indwelling us, empowering us, and leading and guiding us in this life so that we can truly walk the walk that we deem to talk. The Helper, which we have discussed again and again in context with what Jesus is saying here, is that very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, which is how Jesus fulfills his promise given to us in John 16:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and come to us. He has, by and through his Holy Spirit, he is with us. Even more so than when he was physically with us, walking, teaching, and healing us during his earthly ministry, he is still doing that right now, actively in our lives, by and through the power of his Holy Spirit. The very presence of God in and among us through the gift of his Holy Spirit. Paul aptly best explained this in 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This treasure Paul speaks of is that very presence of God, the very Spirit of God in us. The clay jar is the mortal shell of our flesh. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ and this glorious gift of his Holy Spirit to live in and be with us, to help guide us in this life so that we could truly experience fully the promised hope Paul speaks of here. Understanding it is his work in us, through us, and not ours. Even though we are pressed, we are not crushed, perplexed, not led in despair, and persecuted, we are not abandoned. He is with us. Even though we may be struck down, afflicted in every way, we will not be destroyed because God's presence is with us. by and through the power of his Holy Spirit, the very same Spirit that raised him from the dead is upon us. And in this, though there would be death brought to this mortal shell, we, like Jesus, by and through the power of that same Spirit, will rise again in glory because life is at work in us. We discussed this a bit last week, how the Spirit's already doing this work in our lives, how the Spirit is bringing about new birth, new life, here and now, putting to death our body of sin so that we can be risen again in life in him. Which brings us to another essential work that we're going to be talking about today of the Holy Spirit. Another critical role the Holy Spirit has in the believer's life. So that we could have confidence, boldness, and that we could face this world without fear. Because we have this very Spirit of God in our life as proof that we have life in Christ. That we have that treasure in clay jars, as the Scriptures testify to time and time again. The Holy Spirit is the proof. Like in 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Then 2 Corinthians 5:5, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Ephesians 1:13-14, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." And finally, Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Paul clearly shows us the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, providing them assurance and proof that they are indeed in Christ, that no matter what they face in this life, with full hope and confidence, they know they could receive that eternal prize. We know that we could receive that eternal prize no matter what comes our way, knowing good and well, as Paul did, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, as he says in 2 Timothy 1:7. As the reality is, life in this world of sin and darkness is hard. It is crushing. It is perplexing. It is death-bringing. And it pursues to death all who would dare not follow in its way of death and would have the audacity to try to go another way. For those without the hope of Jesus and the gifting of his Holy Spirit in their lives, it will swallow them alive. It will swallow them whole. It will cause absolute, ultimate death in their lives. The clay jar will break and shatter with nothing to spring forth from it. The curse from our original sin and the fall of humanity still stands firm upon us today, that we see in Genesis 3:19. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But not for those who have found Jesus and have received the Holy Spirit in their lives. They have a surpassing hope they experience today, now making it no hope at all because it's something we've received. It's a lived reality, knowing that, yes, we came from dust and to dust we'll return, but we are more than just dust. And we will rise again, just like Jesus, in body. Knowing, as Paul would say in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Demanding any true follower of Jesus to ask a crucial question: can we make such a claim as confidently and boldly as Paul? Is this our hope? Is this a wishful dream? Is it our hope or a wishful dream? How can you know confidently you are in him and he is in you? Have you ever questioned your redemption? Have you ever been caused to question your very salvation? Have you ever wondered if you really were with him? If so, know that you're not alone. Know that many today and many before you have had that same question. In this, there is no shame in your doubt. But thank God, because he knew we would question, which is why God has given us a surefire means to know the answer to that question. That is, if we would dare seek the answer. As this is a critical work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, to provide that assurance, that hope, and confidence in someone's life to show them that they are indeed in Christ. The Bible teaches us this reality. If the Holy Spirit is upon you and his work is evident in your life, you have received redemption in Christ. However, the reverse of that statement is also true. If the Holy Spirit is not upon you and his work is not evident in your life, then you still need Christ. As the passages we read earlier declare from 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22, it says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Chapter 5, 5, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." And then finally, Ephesians 4, 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." This shows us why we've endeavored this journey of discovering the work of the Holy Spirit, the full work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We must fully understand his work in our lives, because his work in our lives is the one and only way God gave us to be confident that we have been given over to him, that we have truly surrendered our life to him. The Spirit coming upon the believer is that work that God gives us so that we can have assurance, that we can have that guarantee, that we can experience that foretaste, which someone once explained as the tip of the spoon, just the tip of the spoon. Boy, I can't just take the tip of the spoon. I want the whole thing. You know, but it's just like he gives us just a little taste here right now on earth as it is in heaven. Because we know that day of eternity is coming. He gives us confidence, courage, and boldness to live for him when everything around us seeks to make us live apart from him and deny him. This is all the more reason we need to understand the Holy Spirit's full work. Because if we don't understand the full work of the Holy Spirit, we may think, well, I don't experience the Holy Spirit the same way this person over here experiences the Holy Spirit. I guess I really don't have Jesus then. It could leave someone in a position going, well, am I really saved or not? Because the thing is, the Holy Spirit's work is so vast and wonderful. And as I read that one writer who struggled with this from the Gospel Coalition, I want to quote this one more time during this series to really express why it is we're doing this. He said, "Though I studied in seminary, I could offer a fairly thorough summary of the theology of the Holy Spirit. Practically speaking, I did not really understand what he does or how he works," this writer said. "And on one hand, we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection, the center and foundation of our faith. But on the other hand, there is the Holy Spirit. In my mind," he says, "his work felt different and unrelated to the work of Christ. I," he continues to say, "used to think the work of the Holy Spirit was connected only with spiritual gifts, especially the more spectacular gifts like healing, tongues, and prophecy. Sometimes I felt his work is to give an occasional power boost for the purpose of bold evangelism, strong preaching, or passionate worship. Beyond this, I did not really understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As a result," he continues on saying, "I did not feel I would get to experience much of his work in my life. Thankfully, there is so much more to the Holy Spirit than I knew then. My understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit was truncated, incorrect, and unhelpful. It was only a small part of what the Bible teaches about him and what he does." And as I said then, I say again today, it is high time we untruncated this understanding. and realize the work of the Spirit in our lives here today, in our midst, and how he is moving right now, how he has been moving for time in our lives, because he is working in our lives. If you've given your life over to Christ, if you've realized a noticeable change in your life because of your faith in Christ, if you have found yourself truly putting to death the body of sin so that you could be risen again in life in Christ, here's the great news. The Holy Spirit is upon you, because that's not you who's doing that. That is God's presence, because we cannot will our way out of sin. It's his presence in us, moving us, inspiring us, and encouraging us that allows us to put to death this body of sin so that we can be risen again in Christ. And sure, yes, the physical manifestation, the spiritual gifts are very much a part of the work, which we're going to be talking about that here in a couple of weeks, because it is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's so much more. And if we left it up to just those physical manifestations and spectacular gifts, we'd be left wondering whether we're really in Christ or not, because that's not everyone's experience in Christ. And this has been my hope from day one as we reach the pinnacle of our series in understanding this full work and nature of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, so that if you are in Christ, you can know with confidence you are right now, right here today in Christ, and that he is in you. Would we let the great surgeon continue to do his work in revealing what is upon our hearts here today? We have seen Paul use many words to describe this. Paul explains the Holy Spirit as our seal, guarantee, and inheritance. Some other translations would use the word deposit. Other translations might even use the word earnest. Just like you would put money on a house purchase, you know, when you sign the contracts, you have to put forth your earnest money. And what that earnest money was is a way of saying, I'm not going to break this, violate this contract. I'm going to go through this all the way to the end, whether we get the house or not. And you put that earnest money down as a security deposit for the purchase that is to come. And you get it back if the purchase to come doesn't happen. But the thing is, you don't get it back if you break the contract. If you break the covenant, you don't get it back. Well, who's given the earnest? Who gave it? God. God's given it. We didn't give him anything. We have nothing to give him. And he gave us this earnest, this deposit, this promise that I am not breaking this contract. And here's the proof that I'm not going to break this covenant. That you are in him and I am in you. He puts the earnest in our life of the Holy Spirit. Proof that the purchase later will happen. It is a way of declaring that something is yours too. Putting a deposit on something. I know that there's been times, you know, in my more younger, youthful days, we stayed up till the midnight release of the Nintendo Switch, and we went to Walmart, and we were in that line, and I put my deposit down so that I can get a ticket, and I can guarantee that I was going to get one. Yeah, that's not going to happen again. That was a long night. the point is, though, it's a proof that it's yours. You know, your name is now on that. When the Bible says that God does this in our lives, what he's doing, he's saying that you are his. He's putting his seal upon you. He claims you as his own. The scriptures testify to this in Romans 16:17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. There's no simple way around this. The Spirit is the proof. Is the Spirit at work in your life? If the Holy Spirit is upon you and his work is evident, you have received redemption in Christ. You have received redemption. However, the reverse is also true. If the Spirit is not upon you and his work is not evident in your life, then you still need Jesus. He is our down payment given to us to the proof of our inheritance that is to come, which was bought and paid for in full by and through Christ, sealing us and assuring us in salvation. Something no one or anything can ever take away from us. something that Romans 8, 35, 39 testifies to. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God has given us his presence, his very spirit, as a first installment to assure that we are truly his children. And we have this gift of surpassing worth in these jars of clay. And in this, we will be delivered to him no matter what. The Holy Spirit is given to us to confirm that we belong to him, and that we, in fact, have become children of God. As it is by and through his Spirit, God is actively at work, renewing us, sanctifying us, and leading us in his way as he produces in us, creating in us new hearts of flesh to replace those hardened hearts of stone due to our sin and disobedience. He causes our hearts to be changed, leading us to renewal of life in our hopes, dreams, and aspirations, changing our whole life orientation from where we had been toward him. Have you experienced that change in your life? Where you were literally going one way, and all of a sudden you can't explain why, but something caused you to turn. Something caused you to go the other way. You repented. You changed. And that thing that you were striving after before no longer mattered to you because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus and his resurrection. And to be known by him. If so, that is your hope. Your faith is genuine because the Holy Spirit has brought redemption into your life and secured you in him. Because for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the cultural idiom says, the proof is in the pudding. It's another way of saying that you have to judge something by trying it and seeing it for what it truly is, and not just hearsay. The proof of your redemption, your regeneration, and transformation in Christ is in the pudding. Is it there or is it not? That's the simple question. This is how we know. If we have ever questioned the validity of our walk with Christ Jesus, this is how we know. If the guiding power of the Holy Spirit is in your life, you have been sealed and have been marked as belonging to God for that day of redemption and the final judgment, complete and free from the corruption of sin and the grave, because you have been sealed by the Spirit of God in your heart. And you can now live joyfully confident, knowing your hope is in Christ and it is secure. And not only can you live joyfully and confident, you can live boldly. You could dare to be bold in the name of Jesus and go forth into this world, proclaiming to this world the hope that you have, knowing good and well that we will be persecuted, but will not be abandoned. We will be struck down, but we will not be destroyed. If you ever felt perplexed, know that you won't be led in despair. If you feel the pressure of the world crashing down upon you, know that you will not be crushed, because all hope is not lost. Because God's Spirit is with you. God's Spirit is upon you. If you have the evidence of the work of the Spirit in your life, you can have assurance in your life in Christ. We know this for sure by and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we've given them over to Christ. Works we can know, as we've discussed, are simple works. Simple works that we can't do on our own. Simple to God, near impossible to us. The first and foremost work we discussed was how he leads us in wisdom and knowledge, growing us in understanding of who God is and who we are in light of who God is, which leads us to a place where we see him as our Heavenly Father. And we see ourselves as disobedient children, that we have become children of wrath to our Heavenly Father. And then we get this deep conviction, that next work of the Holy Spirit, this deep conviction on the things that we know that our Heavenly Father is displeased of. And we want to please our Heavenly Father. And so that deep conviction of our sin, we repent. We change our direction. We change our way. We change our life. And we can't do it on our own. We need help. And so he empowers us. He leads us in that change. He gives us grace and mercy. So when we fall down and hurt ourselves, he picks us back up, dusts us off again, and he gets us going on our way again. He keeps picking us back up. Every time we fall down, he picks us back up. His Spirit is moving with us, even when we continue to fall short. And in this, he brings new life in us. The work we talked about last week. How he brings a new birth about in and through us, where who we were before has changed. We are no longer who we were before, but we are now in Christ, redeemed and restored by him. And we are experiencing that foretaste of that life of abundance that is to come through and in him. As Paul says best in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul says the new creation has come. He does not say will come, but it has come here, right now, today. This work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is happening today. It is also the proof that God is with you. And you are with him and continuing to grow in him. Is this your hope or is this your wishful dream? How can you know confidently you are in him and he is in you? If you currently or have ever doubted your redemption, know, as we've read these passages already twice, and I want to read them one more time, what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 22. And it is God who establishes us. God, not us. God establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Chapter 5, verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you want to know if you stand redeemed, simply ask if the work of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. If the Holy Spirit is upon you and his work is evident in you, you have received redemption in Christ. There's no other way for this to take place but by and through the Holy Spirit in you. However, the reverse is true. If the Spirit is not upon you and his work is not evident in your life, you still need Jesus. Do you need to be reminded of this work in your life today? Do you need to be reminded how God is moving in your life today? Or do you need to plead with the Lord to send his Spirit to lead and guide you? Are you ready to fully surrender all? To say, Lord, give me thy Holy Spirit so I will know that thou art mine. Maybe you're thinking, I've given my life to Christ and there's been change, but I never feel like it will be enough. Would you realize today the work of the Holy Spirit is on you and working through you? And it is not by your strength, but his, to end your ceaseless striving and trusting him to continue that work of sanctification in your life, knowing you can be certain as long as you allow him to keep moving in and through you. If so, as always, these steps up here are open. And even if you're saying, gosh, I don't really feel the presence of the Spirit in my life, would today be the day you surrender all? These steps, this what we would call an altar, is open to you. And I guarantee you, if you came up here and prayed today, someone would come and pray for you and over you. Because that's just who we are. That's what family does. But also, if you just want to be alone with God, that prayer chapel over there is open to you. Do not leave today questioning. You do not have to question anymore. You can know for sure where your life stands with God. Receive or realize the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life today, as this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.